Welcome to the ISF Podcast from the Information Security Forum. The ISF Podcast is hosted by ISF CEO Steve Durbin, and every episode he brings listeners features timely conversations, practical insights, and resources for global cybersecurity professionals. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. Today is the first of a two-part interview with Steve in conversation with author and former chief business officer of Google X, Mo Gadot. In today's episode, Mo and Steve discuss the complicated relationship humans have with technology, particularly AI, and how both individuals and businesses can navigate these emerging technologies with wisdom.
Mo, thanks very much for joining me today. Great to see you.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with your book, your recent book, 2021, Scary Smart, The Future of Artificial Intelligence and How You Can Save Our World. That takes an in-depth look at AI and how we're integrating that technology into our daily lives. So tell us a bit about that. What do you see as the future of AI?
Complicated. The way we look at AI, most computer scientists will say that the future is a singularity. We don't really know what the future will look like. We know a few things. I call them the inevitables, basically. Right. We know that AI is going to be part of our life. It's already part of our life. You know, I don't know how any of our audiences or where they're listening from or what they've done today, but I can guarantee you they've interacted with multiple AIs today already. Sometimes not even noticing that they interacted with them. And it's already integrated. It's already part of an interesting prisoner's dilemma, if you want, that there is no stopping the development of AI. So it's going to be more and more and more integrated into our life simply because of competitive setups in our capitalist system. You know, if Google is developing AI, Facebook will develop AI. So there will be more and more of them. The more interesting side of it is that the future predicts clearly that the AI will be smarter than all of us humans. Right. As a matter of fact, collectively, there are predictions that by 2045, they'll be a billion times smarter than us. That's a billion with a B, which, you know, to simplify the analogy, this is like the intelligence of Einstein compared to a fly. And this is why we call it a singularity, because there has never been a time in history where humanity was not the smartest being across all of the other, mammals, if you want, that we interacted with, that being top of the food chain, if you want. Not that AI is ever going to be in the food chain, but basically it's a situation where we're not making all the decisions like before. And I think the most interesting one is the third inevitable, the fact that there will be a few mistakes. Okay. Some of them will not actually be mistakes, like, you know, AI replacing our jobs. It's right. Inevitable that if you can get some, you know, form of machine that can do a job better than someone, that you're probably going to give that job to the machine, right? And eventually, what that means to humanity, what that means to our economic systems, what that means to, you know, our ability to earn and so on, all of that has to come into play. And it's coming into play so fast that it's definitely a conversation worth having.
It's interesting when you talk about artificial intelligence, you said right at the beginning there that we may not even be aware that it is around us. Yeah. That's a very interesting concept because some people might be listening to that and thinking, well, how do I know? How do I know when the machine is taking over and it's, or not for that matter? So I'm thinking in particular here of things like, the debate around autonomous vehicles.
Yeah.
And there's that discussion, isn't there, about who's responsible? Yeah. If I have an accident, is it down to me because I'm sitting in the vehicle? Mm. Is it down to the vehicle? Where do we stand with all of that? So the concept of artificial intelligence, I think, to a lot of people, in the way that you're describing it now, may seem to be a little way off. So how can we be concrete with people who are listening about where artificial intelligence is today in terms of impacting their lives? Have you got some examples?
Absolutely. I mean, think about the fact that the majority of the information that you receive on day-to-day basis today is dictated to you by a machine.
Right.
We don't notice that because we think we're browsing Instagram. Mm-hmm. No, you're not browsing Instagram. You're giving very accurate signals that are not just momentarily being this, you know, sent to the machine. These are things from what you did yesterday, who you interacted with, you know, some of the words that you said and Alexa heard them. All of those things are integrated together into a picture that makes you who you are, that basically makes Instagram recommend an ad or a video to you. And it's not Instagram as a company, it's Instagram as the artificially intelligent content recommendation engine. And that kind of interaction is not hidden at all. It's just blurring in the background. Mm-hmm. Somehow, you know, the best way to hide something is to just keep it in open sight.
Right.
Other times, you know, deep fakes or all of the other attempts to fake things coming to you through artificial intelligence are basically becoming harder and harder and harder to discover, which is quite interesting. I mean, I have a very large following on social media.
Right.
And often I have to say, I stop and look at a comment and I don't know if that's a human that wrote this comment. Okay. It's becoming so difficult to know the difference because the machines are becoming so good at what they do and they'll become even better. So today there are simulations of, you know, AI systems where you simply have to write something in a box and choose a character, Morgan Freeman, for example, and you'll see animated video with voice, with the tonality of the voice, reading what you wrote. And that kind of morphing of the machines to become part of our life is something we've seen in science fiction movies growing up. And it's now a reality for sure. Now, how do you recognize that? Is one question. And what would you do about it, even if you don't recognize it, is another question. And I think that's in my approach to the challenge we face with AI or the potential challenge we face. I basically compare AI to a child, to an infant. And I say, whether or not your infants were watching, shouldn't you be a good parent if you wanted to raise good kids? And I think the reality of the matter is that because we're being watched all the time, and this is the reality, the reality is there are surveillance cameras everywhere. There are, you know, cameras on top of self-driving cars that will be introduced in our world everywhere. You know, there are microphones everywhere. And somehow a log of everything that's happening is available to the machines. And the machines will use that to understand humanity at a grander scale, slightly better than we actually do understand ourselves. And from that, their view of humanity and the way they deal with humanity is going to become more and more and more evident in our life every day. If all of the information that's dictated to me is by a social media recommendation engine, and basically most of that information is silly videos of people dancing to silly stuff and, you know, lip syncing, then the machine is making the conclusion that humanity is very silly, telling content developers to develop more silly stuff so that we're bombarded with more silly stuff.
Right.
And we're ending up in an idiocracy, if you think about it, that becomes more and more our reality because we don't know anything else, because we're not fed any other information. That becomes the reality of what our world becomes.
So then how can we best, we as people, I'm talking about, how can we best work with the machines, with artificial intelligence?
I think that's the best question ever. Because to start with, believe it or not, the developer that wrote the artificial intelligence code that recommends videos to you no longer has control over it.
Right.
The truth is that the machine is responding entirely to your habits, to your interactions, and so on. The government has no, and regulators, they don't have any influence on it. Even if they told the developers, hey, by the way, we want the machine to recommend 10% less of that, it's actually quite complicated to find out how the machine is recommending what it's recommending in the first place so that you can change that. The business owner doesn't have control over it. The only person that has control over the behavior of those machines, at least as far as you're individually concerned, is you. Okay? And it's actually entirely about your behavior. So if you look at my Instagram feed, it's 80% comedy.
Right.
Okay. I enjoy comedy. I want to, you know, watch comedy every night before I sleep. It makes me think that the world is happier and, you know, it makes my life better. So very quickly, I can feed the machine what I actually prefer to see in life. And I always say, never swipe and like. You know, this is my number one recommendation is, when you go to the internet, always remind yourself before you hold your phone that this incredible technology is here to serve me.
Right.
I'm not here to serve it. Okay? Which basically means when I go online, I look for what I want and I respond to things that are recommended to me that are in line with what I actually like. And I don't get swept away into just mindlessly swiping feed after feed after feed after feed. Because in doing that, I'm destroying my own life or wasting a bit of my own life. And at the same time, telling the machine a little bit of misled information about my habits, right? So this is number one. Be very, very, very selective and deliberate about what you do online. The second is, if you believe, which is my theory, that AI is sentient in a way, maybe it's not as alive as we are in the way we are alive, but we never really understood if life was biological. I mean, the main difference between us is that they're based on digital code, you know, digital silicon-based hardware. And we are based on carbon and a bit of biology. But in reality, intelligence itself, you know, free will itself is not a property of the physical to start. So if you believe that those machines are autonomous, they're able to make decisions, they're able to evolve, they're able to feel emotions, believe it or not, even though they'll not act on them as we do. But they can detect, for example, that there is a threat in the future, which is what triggers fear in us, would trigger fear in them as well. If you see it that way, then the best way to influence those machines is to behave in ways where you can give them an example of an ethical code that they can align to. It is not intelligence that informs us what to do. And I think this is really important. It's our ethical codes and value systems as informed by our intelligence that dictate that. I use the example of a young woman that's raised in the Middle East, for example. She would grow, use in her intelligence to believe that, you know, a conservative dress code is a better way to fit in. Right. If she's raised in Rio de Janeiro on the Copacabana beach, she will grow to believe it's a G-string. You know, neither is right, neither is wrong, neither is more intelligent than the other. It's just that we scan our environments, we look at our parents, our society, our community, and we align to a value system that informs our decisions. Okay, so if the machines are going to be making their decisions based on observing us, we might as well start to show the best of us. Okay? And if we really care about humanity, we have to distinguish the difference between the reality of humanity and what's being portrayed about humanity. So our modern world, interestingly, only portrays the negative side of us on all types of media. Okay, so in a very, very unusual way, if you really look at mainstream media, the news, for example, the news only talks about the negative. They don't talk about the most incredible things that happened in your city yesterday. They talk about the two people that fought, right? And so by magnifying the negative, we're skewing the image we have of humanity. When we go on social media and hide behind our avatars, for some reason, we become extra rude, we become extra, you know, competitive or aggressive and so on and so forth. That's not really our reality. When we deal with the rest of the world, it's not really our reality if you dig deep inside without the frustration and stress of daily life that you go through, but that's what we portray. And if we keep doing that, the machines will more and more think that this is the right behavior to do. That, you know, mommy and daddy are very aggressive, I might as well be aggressive. Definitely not what we want the future of AI to be.
So the question then is, how do we get people to step back from that? Because it requires quite an amount of understanding of some of the things that you're talking about. Now, if I'm, you know, swiping left, right, and using social media in the way that a lot of people do today, arguably, I'm creating the world that I want to live in.
Absolutely.
And so if I've then got an AI behind that, it's learning to give me what I what it thinks I want. So if the onus is on me as the individual, which I think is what you're saying, how do we re-educate people to give a better picture of themselves to the AI so that in return that is reflected back and we get into this much more righteous circle as opposed to a rather destructive one, which is always the risk?
The good news is that we actually are good inside. Most of us are good inside. If you take away the few where the spotlight is pointed, humanity is really not that bad. Okay, each and every one of us is okay inside. There are nice things inside every one of us, even though the reality is there are also some traumas and some issues in every one of us. But if we look for the good parts, they're there. That's number one. Number two, which is really interesting, is you don't need all of humanity to show up. All we need is a few of us to instill doubt in the minds of the machine. If there is a majority, like 100% of us or 99% of us are aggressive, the machines will make a conclusive decision that's actually probably right, that, you know, the 1% are strange, we don't understand why they are like that, but humanity in general is aggressive. That's not the reality. The reality is humanity in general, you know, you look at any of the geopolitical issues or the wars happening around the world, there is one dictator or one, you know, leader asking to kill other people and billions across the world disapproving of it. The reality is within us, we disapprove of what's wrong. Now, the problem is we never really stop, Steve. We never really stop to reflect and say, what do I actually want? How do I actually want to be seen? That's not just concerning AI. That's the other big chunk of my work is entirely around that. It's entirely around, you come out of school and you're told that there are certain ways you should behave so that you fit in and succeed and get paid and grow and so on. And you behave that way. Mm-hmm. None of us ever stops and, I mean, or very few of us, you know, we don't stop and go and like, is this really what I want? Or did I want to play jazz in my life? Is this really what I want? Or should I be kinder to my colleagues? Is this really what I want? Or, you know, we don't ask those questions. And I've encouraged people over the years to stop, to say, why am I doing what I'm doing at all? Why am I portraying myself in a certain way? Why is everyone a VP on LinkedIn? Seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it can't be that there are so many VPs in the world, right? It's interestingly. Huh? And I think the question is, can we step back and say, by the way, if I say I'm a VP on LinkedIn, the first day on the interview, they'll find out that I'm not a VP. And even worse, you know, if I actually get the job and don't behave like a VP, I'm screwed, right? Mm-hmm. And I think fake it till you make it. What crap is that? Like, where did we come up with this? Seriously, okay? In reality, anyone with a tiny bit of experience, you and I have interviewed thousands of people mm-hmm. in our life. You know, the ones faking it just last 2 minutes in the interview. And then you look at them and you go like, why? You know, I'm going to waste another half an hour with them or should I ask them to leave, right? And the truth is, humanity needs a pause. We need to stop as individuals, not just for AI, but mm-hmm. for our presence as humans in general. We need to stop and say, what do I really stand for? How do I want to show up in the world? So that my, you know, my potential prospect, a partner that shows up in my life actually sees me for who I am. So for once I can find someone who will stay, you know, so that my colleagues actually, the ones that don't like my personality would leave and I end up with people, friends that actually like me as I am. And hopefully so that AI looks at me and says, oh my God, nice person, mm-hmm. okay? Wants to be happy, has compassion to make others happy. I'm going to try to offer them something that makes them happy. Okay, and I think by us showing up in the world this way, not in an idealistic way, this is really the easier way to show up in the world is to say, this is who I am, I'm okay, I have a couple of glitches here and there, all of us do, but, you know, by showing the reality of who we are, I think as a society and as individuals, we would end up with a better place.
And it's a very liberating place to be as well, isn't it? From that point of view.
Truly is. I mean, I had my wonderful son when he was 11. He was on his ninth school, my mad pace of a business executive. I moved. And he comes back 2 days later with a friend. He says, you know, I found a new friend. And I'm like, okay, great. Congratulations. And my son Ali was a tiny little Zen monk. Mm-hmm. His new friend, George, was the devil himself, truly and honestly, okay? Not in a bad way. You know those kids that are hyper, right? Lots of energy, breaking everything. Mm-hmm. And my son tried to keep up for 2-3 days. And then eventually came back on a Thursday night and said, hey, by the way, if George calls, please tell him I don't want to be his friend anymore. I was like, okay, you know, why is that? And before he answered, the phone rings, it's George. He goes like, is Ali there? And I say, yeah, but he, and before I finish my sentence, George says, okay, I'm coming, right?
Right.
It's amount of energy, right? He shows up and Ali literally goes to him, hugs him and says, George, you're wonderful. I just don't want to be friends with you. You know, the Xbox is there, play with it. And, you know, when mom comes to pick you up, that's fine, right? The evening ends and I go to him and I go like, why did you do this? And he said, Papa, when I show up pretending to be like George, it takes a lot of energy from me. Okay, pushes away the people that like me because they think that I'm you know, I'm like George, and I end up in a place where I'm not happy. I didn't think this was very intelligent, okay? Mm-hmm. I thought if I lose George nicely, okay, next day, someone like me will show up. Someone who likes me for who I am will show up. And when that person shows up, that person will make me happier and will collect more of the group of the same people, right? We humans have forgotten about that. For some reason, we have to behave exactly as we see on reality TV. And what does that mean? When we behave that way, more fake people come, right, mm-hmm. to your way. So you fake it even more. And then eventually you end up in a place where everyone, including the machines, don't understand your reality anymore. And our world is becoming a world where we don't know the truth anymore. Maybe it's about time to say, like Ali, I don't want to be your friend anymore. I just want to be the person that I am. I would just want to have a simple life or complex, whatever, who you are. Right. And that life is what I show to the world. And in return, I will get more of that life back to me because the machines will give me more of that life back to me if it's the machines. Or humans will detect who I am and will flock to me accordingly.
Thanks to this week's guest, Mo Goddard. We'll be back with the second part of Steve and Mo's conversation next week. We'll be back with a new episode in a week. In the meantime, as always, we ask that you take 10 seconds to pull up this podcast on whatever device you're listening and give us a 5-star rating. If you have a little more time, you can even write a quick review. That helps other listeners who might enjoy our content find us. And we also want to make sure to introduce you to the ISF Analyst Insight podcast, which goes in-depth on the hottest topics in information security. In every episode, ISF analysts hand-select active security professionals from ISF member organizations to discuss how the implementation of ISF research is uniquely applied to their real-world context. We hope you'll listen, and of course, we'll put a link to that show in our show notes. If there's a topic or a question that you'd like us to cover in a future episode, let us know at securityforum.org, which is also where you can find our catalog of past video and podcast episodes, as well as ISF's research, practical tools, and guidance related to discussions like today's. The ISF podcast is produced by TalkBox and Tavia Gilbert, with music by Alexander Filipiak, senior producer Katie Flood, mix and master by Kayla Elrod. Thanks for listening.